grace is the basis of our relationship with God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to embrace the sustaining power of God's amazing grace.
Did you know the fact of the matter is that Paul was one of the greatest Christians? He had more faith than perhaps anyone in this room, and yet God did not choose to heal the Apostle Paul. Instead, he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Sometimes we want God to do a removing job, but He wants to do an improving job within our heart.
In our fast-paced world of heavy demands and competing responsibilities, spiritual survival is a challenge. In our series, Transformed by Grace, we will discover how to fuel our spiritual tanks with the sustaining grace of God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God's grace strengthens and sustains us. Yet many Christians never fully understand how grace should affect their daily lives. Through today's series, we will discover how to experience the victorious Christian life by God's transforming grace. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called God's Resting Grace.
Corrie Ten Boom was a godly Christian woman who lived during the World War II era. Some of you have read her testimony, how she was placed in one of Hitler's concentration camps. Corrie Ten Boom had read in the Bible the verse that says, "In everything, give thanks." And she had tried to give thanks. She gave thanks for the boards that she slept upon. She gave thanks for the air that she breathed. Every day, she thanked God for the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was one thing she just had trouble being thankful for, and that was the lice that had crept into her body. In fact, many of the women in her barracks were so infested with lice that they just could find no relief. She said to her friends, "I'm having trouble being thankful for these lice." Well, some days came, it was nearing the time when she would be rescued from that prison house. And on one occasion, one of the guards was speaking to some of those who inhabited the barracks where Corrie Ten Boom lived. And as they were discussing the life there in this prison house, the guard revealed to this friend of Corrie Ten Boom's that the only reason the ladies in that barracks had not been raped and ravaged was because of the lice that were in their bodies. Corrie Ten Boom said, "I then learned even to be thankful for the lice that were in my body." My friend, sometimes we don't understand the trials of this life, but God always has a reason. And He will always give a way of escape. And He will always give us grace when there is time of suffering. God says, "I'll give you grace for suffering." God says, secondly, "I want to give you grace for strengthening." You know, when you're going through this fast-paced life and you're commuting 30 miles and 60 miles to work and you've got kids in Little League and soccer and you've got to run to get prescription medicine and run to get the groceries and you've got family that has trouble, during all these times, we need the strength of God today more than ever. Now, notice what the Bible says in verse number 10. The Bible says, "But the God of all grace..." By the way, how many of you like that phrase like I do? The God of all grace, that's who our God is. How many of you are glad you don't worship a stone idol today? How many of you are glad you don't worship the rocks at Sedona or the crystals or something else? We worship the God of all grace this morning. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus..." By the way, there's no way to have life eternal apart from Jesus Christ. He's called us to this glory by or through Jesus Christ. Notice, "after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Now let us see this morning how God wants to give us grace to strengthen our lives. First of all, we see that God will give us grace for the completion of our faith. For the completion of our faith. How many of you here this morning are willing to say, "My faith is not complete. I am not mature yet completely as a Christian. I'm still growing." Are we ready to admit that this morning? There was a group of tourists going through Europe. Boy, they saw so many beautiful chapels and churches and historical monuments. Napoleon had been here and so-and-so had been there and King Edward had done this. And boy, everywhere they went, they were just enthralled with the history in Europe. Well, they came to a little village in the German countryside. There was a man on the front porch of the store there in the village. And one of the tourists went up and began to try to communicate with this man. He said, "Sir, was there ever a real great man that was born in this village?" The man thought about it. He said, "Nope, just babies." You know, the fact of the matter is there's no such thing as an instant strong Christian. You know, salvation is the miracle of a moment. When you are born, it's the miracle of a moment. But becoming a mature Christian is the process of a lifetime. And we see in this verse a word that is so important. Verse number 10, "After you have suffered a while, make you perfect." If you are taking notes this morning, the word perfect means having reached its end or having become mature. God says that He wants to comfort our hearts and He wants to establish us by His grace unto every good work. God says that He wants to make us perfect. Now, it is during the trials of life and the difficulties when God often does the innermost work of your heart and mind, and when He completes our faith and matures our faith in the Word of God. Notice, secondly, the establishment of our faith. The Bible says here in this verse, number 10, that He may make you perfect, and the Bible says, establish you. Establish your faith. You know, God wants your faith and mine to be firmly fixed on Him. The psalmist said in Psalm 57 and verse 7, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed." And we need Christians in this hour who are established Christians, not running here and there and up and down, but who are on Christ, the solid rock. And then notice not only the completion of our faith and the establishment of our faith, but also the strengthening of our faith. Notice it in verse 10. "Make you perfect, establish, and strengthen you." Now, I have good news this morning. God has power to strengthen your faith and mine. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And God has a purpose in strengthening us. God doesn't strengthen us so we can walk around saying, "Well, I'm a great Christian. You ought to be lucky I'm a member of this church. And I just want you to know, I'm a strong Christian." That's not why. Notice what Jesus said in Luke 22:32. He said, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." He said to His disciples, "Now when you become complete and mature, and when you are strengthened, then I want you to go out and strengthen someone else." God says the purpose for strengthening our faith is so that tomorrow at work, you might be the witness that God has called you to be. And so that we might be the salt and light in this community that God has called us to be. He strengthens us so that we might serve. Now listen very carefully. There are folks serving in various ministries right now as I speak. And that's a wonderful thing. And many of you are witnessing and serving God and having devotions with your family. But God did not create you to be a human doing. God created you to be a human being. In other words, He wants you to be something with Him before you do things for Him. And God says, "I want to strengthen you in your heart so that you won't burn out. I want to fill you up with my word so that you won't crash and burn." God says, "I'm strengthening you for this purpose, that when you go out in that workplace tomorrow, you might not go in the energy of your flesh, but you might go in the power of my Spirit. For it is not by my might, but it is by the Spirit of God that we can do the ministry God has called us to do in this day." And we need the strengthening of our faith today more than ever before. Listen, everything of this world is coming against your faith, and Satan wants to devour you. But God says, "I want to strengthen you." God says, "I have grace for you when you're suffering." God says, "I have grace for you when you need strengthening." But notice thirdly this morning, God says, "I have grace for you when you need settling." Now, I want you to look with me at one word here in the Bible. By the way, how many of you believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration? Every word is important. Amen? Amen. Every word. We believe in this church in the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible. That is, we believe that every word is a God-given word. So let's look at the last part of verse 10. Notice what it says. Settle you. Now, let's just say those two words together, shall we? Settle you. God says, "I have grace. I'm the God of all grace. And I have grace to settle you." Now, folks, very few people today are settled. We live in a mobile society. People are from job to job, marriage to marriage, church to church, angry, happy, all kinds of emotions. Very few people are settled. Some people are unsettled about whether they would go to heaven someday. Some people are unsettled about the love of God. Many people today are restless in their spirit, and they are not settled. But God says, I want to settle you. I want your life to be a life that is settled and that is productive by my grace. Now, if we will have a settled life, then we must in the first place be settled on a foundation. We must have our lives settled on a foundation. And may I say to you this morning that God's Word is our foundation. The Word of God is our foundation. Oh, how we thank God that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for instruction and for reproof and for instruction in righteousness' sake, the Bible says, that we might grow in the Word of God. Now, I've learned about building programs, and I've learned about the importance of foundations during the building programs of our church. We've seen many millions of dollars of buildings built here. And it's amazing, after months and months of doing the plans and months of plan check, and finally the city puts a stamp of approval, and we've had some offerings and we've been praying, and all of a sudden it's time to start a building. I remember when this building started. You know, we didn't immediately start putting steel in the air. You know, the first thing we did, we started digging a hole in the ground. We dug a hole 20 feet under this floor this morning. We went down 20 feet because this soil here is what they call sandy loam soil. And so we went down 20 feet, and then we brought the soil back in and we compacted it with heavy equipment. Then we went around and dug the foundational trench. The foundational trench for this building was about 6 or 7 feet wide, and it went down about 10 or 12 feet in the ground, and we placed rebar and then tons of concrete. Why? Because the most important part of a building is the foundation, and the most important part of your spiritual life is the foundation. And we must determine that we are on Christ, the solid rock, and that we are founded and settled upon the Word of God. We must know that we are doing what we are doing because of what the Bible says. Someone says, well, why is it that you find yourself living a certain lifestyle? Because the Bible says. It's not good enough to say, I'm on the foundation of my pastor or my parents. Someone says, well, why do you go to church? Because the Bible says, Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Well, why do you have an offering? Because the Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, such as God hath prospered him. But why do you baptize people under the water? Because the Bible says, they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. But why is it that the young ladies of the church just a moment ago dressed so modestly? Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy that they are to dress in modest apparel. But why is it that we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5. And sometimes Christians in America today are so spiritually illiterate that they do not understand normal Christianity because they've not been in the Bible enough to know what it is. Get your life founded on the Bible, my friend. Let the Bible be your foundation. Some of you have heard about the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I never knew this until this week. The word Pisa means marshy land. The Leaning Tower of Pisa is 179 feet tall. Every year, it is tilting by about 0.1 inch. In fact, if you were to put a plumb line at the top of the Tower of Pisa, it is already, according to the report I read this week, it is already 17 feet out of plumb, and that by the year 2008, they expect the Leaning Tower of Pisa to fall right down on the Ristorante where the scientists go every year to have lunch and talk about the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I hope they're not in there eating on that day. Why is the tower leaning? Because it was built on a marsh. Make sure that your life is built on the unchanging Word of God. God's Word is our stabilization. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4 very quickly. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and he, speaking of Jesus, Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Jesus did this. He gave them to the church. Why? For the perfecting, again, the maturing of the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. God says, I'm going to give pastors and teachers for the teaching and maturing of the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. God says it's not just the pastor that's supposed to do the work of the ministry, but that every saint should be a servant. So we are going to be perfected for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Notice verse 14 now. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to speak to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. God says it's not his will that we would be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Some folks, it takes just a little false teaching to sway them, just a little gossip to sway them. And before they know it, they're in an entirely different faith system because of some subtle thing that was said by those who are lying in wait to deceive a gullible Christian who's not grounded on the Word of God. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, we learned a lot of songs that, looking back, really helped my faith to develop. Now, one song we sang was a song about the wise man building his house upon the rock. And the rock was the Word of God and Christ himself. And it talked about that Jesus Christ is the rock. Then we'd sing the song about the foolish man. Friend, we must determine today that we are living our lives based upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. We must be settled on a biblical foundation. And many Christians today are weak in their understanding of the Bible. And many professing Christians are practicing various different things that are nowhere to be found in the Bible this morning. And we need to get back to a revival of the book in America today, getting settled on the Word of God. But you know, even more than that, we need to be settled on a person. Settled on a person. Settled in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says it this way. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, now, there's no other foundation that will do other than the foundation that God laid, and that is the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of people today who may have religion. They may have a membership in a church, but they are not settled in a person. You can change labels. You can change denominations. But what matters is, do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning in your heart? I heard about a neighborhood where a fellow moved in. Turned out he was the only Baptist. Everybody in his neighborhood was of the Roman Catholic faith. And sure enough, there came a time called Lent. And Lent, for some religions, is 40 days before Easter. You're supposed to give certain things up. And I've never found it personally in the Bible, but as soon as I do, we'll begin to celebrate it. I promise you that. And they were going to celebrate Lent. And one of the things many people give up during that time is steak and red meat and so forth. And so here they were in the middle of the Lenten season, and this Baptist fella, he got out on a Saturday afternoon in his backyard. He started to cook some big, juicy steaks. He had his Diet Coke and his steaks. Boy, that smell started to permeate through the neighborhood. All those fellas were eating their tuna sandwiches. They said, "This is rough. We need to go talk to John about this. We need to share some things with him." And they went and talked to John about it. And they finally drug him down to their church. And they said to their priest, they said, "Look, we got to do something about this." And the priest talked to the man. He said, "All right, here's what we'll do." He took some water. He sprinkled some water over him. He said, "You were born a Baptist. You were raised a Baptist. But now you are a Catholic." And so John went back to his neighborhood. Next year, the Lenten season came back around. And sure enough, that first Saturday came, and those big, juicy steaks were back on the grill. And that smell was coming through the neighborhood. And those men got together. They said, "We can't take this all month. We need to go talk to John and talk to him about his conversion." And so they went over, and they went to his house. And as they were coming through the gate, they heard a sound. They heard John talking. Next to his barbecue, there was just a little pitcher of water. He was sprinkling it on his grill, and he was saying, "You were born a cow, you were raised a cow, but you are now a fish." Now, friend, you can change the label all you want, but what really matters is what's in your heart. It doesn't matter how many times you've been sprinkled. It doesn't matter how many times you have been immersed. What matters is your life on Christ today? Have you been settled on the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to look in your hymn book this morning. I worry about churches today that are getting away from the hymn book. I know there's some good choruses today. We sing some of them. But you know the old hymn writers, they knew the Bible. And I believe that singing is a way to learn the Bible. And notice what it says in this 404, what the songwriter said. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. In other words, he says, I better not trust in any other good man or good prophet. He said, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My friend, make sure today that your life is on Christ. In Matthew 16 and verse 17, Jesus came to Peter and he said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus was talking to Peter. He said, thou art Peter, thou art Petros, you are the little rock. And then he says, but upon this rock, speaking of himself, the Greek word is Petra, upon this rock, this giant rock, I will build my church. But I want to tell you something, friend. When it comes to knowing salvation is mine and heaven is my home, it has nothing to do with the church. It has everything to do with Christ and His shed blood. And Jesus said, Peter, you're the little rock, like this paperclip. You are the Petros, but upon this rock, like half dome, he says, I will build my church. When you compare Jesus to the men of this world, and I do not believe Peter was the first pope, but when you compare Peter to the Lord Jesus, or any man to the Lord Jesus, it's like comparing a pebble to half dome rock. Jesus said, I'm not going to build my church on a mere man. I'm going to build the church on my doctrine and on my finished work, the shedding of my blood and my resurrection from the grave. Amen. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Jesus is the living bread. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the lily of the valley. Jesus is the rose of Sharon. Jesus is the resurrection and life. And without Jesus, my friend, there is no hope of eternal life. And so Peter says, now, may the grace of God settle you. When you put your head on the pillow tonight, will you be settled concerning your eternal destiny? Are you able to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? I know that it's because of His grace that I've been saved, and my heart has been settled by God's grace. Or will you be unsettled? A lot of people are, you know. I ask people all the time, do you know for sure that if you died, heaven would be your home? Well, I sure hope so. That's a tough one, isn't it? My friend, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God says, I want you to be settled.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. Or go to dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.